Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from a studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli and a supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I'll try to demystify it in this program with my cool guest. Today, we are going to talk about Japanese cocktail culture, and here with me is Kenta Goto, who is the former head bartender at the award-winning cocktail bar Pegu Club in Soho, and the owner of the new cocktail bar called Bar Goto, which opened in Lower East Side in July. Hello, Kenta, and welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks for having me. Yes.
And congratulations on the opening of the Bar Goto.
Thanks.
Okay. So we'll talk about your new bar in a moment, but first, how did you get into bartending?
How did I get into bartending is, well, first part-time job, just surviving New York.
Right. That's so you came to the U.S. in
1997? 1997, yes. Went to fashion school, actually. Mm-hmm. Then after I finished the course, I actually couldn't get a well-paid job. So that's how I got into bartending, like anybody else in New York or in the big cities got into. Mm-hmm. But more I did it, more I found myself that getting into it. Then also I started meeting customers, like regular customers, coming back to see me and just taste the drink that I created. And then I started feeling, okay, maybe I could actually do it. Then, yeah, I mean, that's a, that's how I got into it.
Right. Yes. And also, I heard your mother owns a restaurant in Tokyo.
Right.
So.
Yes. It's not open anymore. She retired from the business. But that's how I spent my junior high and high school. Yeah, he was in a business for about 10 years outside of Tokyo.
So helping her and doing everything.
Basically, I was a garbage man.
Were you interested in food business?
I was in, I was definitely interested in like restaurant, bar, hospitality business. First I wasn't sure what I wanted to do in my life, but as I got older, I guess that was the answer for me. And probably spending a lot of time with my mother's restaurant, it's definitely a backbone of what I do now.
Right. And then you knew how things work there too. All right. And to improve your skills as a bartender, you went to work at the Pegu Club in Soho in 2007. And the Pegu Club is one of the most serious high-quality cocktail bars in the whole U.S. So how did it happen?
How I got the job is, first I went there as a customer. Mm-hmm. And as I walked in, I just knew that this is the place I want to work at. But actually, I didn't have any connection to anyone who worked there. And, luckily, I actually came across the opening ad on Craigslist. And that's because three original members at the Pegu found other opportunities and they moved on. So basically, three openings were available.
Wow.
So I guess timing just perfectly did work out for me.
Yeah. Right. So then you met the legendary female bartender, Audrey Saunders.
Yes, my still my boss, but yes.
Right. Okay. So you know, and eventually you worked as just one of the bartenders, but you became the head bartender.
Right. So. Which was a great opportunity for me. And through the time at Pegu, what I learned is not just only like being a bartender, more like how to taste flavors. Mm. Mixing drinks are not that difficult, but tasting, just learning how to taste, that's more important. So that you know what to mix and how much to mix. Mm. Yes. So just simply just mixing, pouring, that can be done by pretty much anybody.
But right. So it sounds like you have to really understand high quality, you know, the spirits or fruits or all ingredients.
And ingredients too, yes. Mm. And even like lemon juice, lime juice, it is a freshly squeezed or like one day after being squeezed. Well, everything tastes different, so. Mm.
Yes. Sounds like the Michelin star chef's kitchen, kind of.
Maybe in the back of the house, but at the front of the house, it's a hospitality business. So,
Okay. Yes. Right. And, the Pegu Club is not a Japanese cocktail bar, but remember you often created Japanese flavored cocktails as specials. So
right.
Maybe you can give us some examples.
So this goes to what I'm doing at my new place, Bar Goto, too. But personally, I feel like Asian-themed cocktails a bit dated. And let's say, for instance, like sake tingi made with vodka, sake, and garnished with sliced cucumbers. Well, maybe you see some like lychee martini that is totally sugar-coated and... If you're not a big fan of sweet drinks, most likely you're not going to even look at it. Mm-hmm. So I always feel that someone has to do something with these Asian-themed cocktails. Mm-hmm. And because if it's good, I mean, it should be good and it can be better. That was my bit of frustration. Then, Pegu gave me just perfect opportunity to just improve those Asian-themed cocktails. Mm. And plus, just because of my heritage, and just no one else was doing it. So,
the Pegu Club is flavor oriented. So, you're allowed to experiment as far as the flavor is good and clean and distinctive.
Yeah. You know, then come to think of it, I remember that Audrey was never a fan of sake tingi. That's because sake, as everybody is aware of, the proof is very low compared to like just regular vodka or gin.
Right. Sake is like 15, 17 degrees alcohol.
So because of the difference of the proof, always kind of mouthfeel and or satisfaction level is not enough for American palate. So I like to use sake tingi. With the help of, you can make a lower proof cocktail by using ingredients like sake, but nice to add a higher proof as a backbone. Also, instead of you shake it, if you shake it, a lot of air goes into the drink, but sometimes that aeration can kind of kill the aromatic flavor of sake.
Right.
So, some little small things are something that I discovered while working at Pegu.
Okay. Yes. Well, maybe you can give us an example later of what you serve at the Bar Goto. So you stayed at Pegu for 7 years, and then you now own your bar. So what did you learn at the Pegu Club?
Addition to how to taste everything, how to be patient towards the people that you work with. I guess like leading, how to lead a team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Because the bartenders, I heard that they have different shifts, and you have end up working as a head bartender. You work with so many different kinds of personalities and different kind of schedules.
Right. And Pegu is one of those places that people come in with high expectation. So drinks needs to be always top notch. And even we have a house recipe that everybody must follow to. Always final product, you see some bit of difference. It's exactly the same drinks, exactly the same proportion, but sometimes drink's color looks different, or even like finish wash line in a glass is always different. So, so my job was try not to discourage anyone, but just try to maintain the quality. Yes. And in order to do that, take some level of patience.
Right. Yeah. And also especially on weekends, there's known for being so busy.
Yeah, so that's another thing that we handle a lot of volume on at Pegu. So not just making sure drinks is good, and at the same time, you have to make sure that all customers are fairly taken care of too.
Right. Yes. Okay. And so while you were there, you earned the Spirited Award for American Bartender of the Year at the 2011 Tales of the Cocktail Convention. And the Tales of the Cocktail is the annual most recognized cocktail event in the U.S. and in the world, I think. So that is amazing.
Thanks.
Right. And so a lot of American bartenders seem to be very much into Japanese cocktail culture lately. And could you tell us the difference between the Japanese and American cocktail cultures?
Yes. Before that, there's a huge difference between Japanese bar scene and American bar scene. It's people in the States, we make tips, while bartenders in Japan are based on salary. And many, if you look at the, like, only the cocktail bars, mainly the ones that you see in Japan are much, much smaller than what we normally see in New York.
So here maybe you can have 60 seats, and in Japan it's 10, 15 seats on average, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Even smaller joints in New York can accommodate like at least 40 to 50 people. But I think most of places in Ginza, in Tokyo, it could be like max of 20 or 25 customers.
Right.
So so that those are the difference first. Then main difference is how to use the creativity. And regardless good or bad, any places you go in New York, you see sort of house cocktail menu. So those are menu, their own creation of
in
each
America.
Bars or restaurants.
Right.
And that's pretty common to see here in New York. But most likely you don't see any of those menu in Tokyo.
So, because they're more standard cocktail oriented?
Yes, that's true. And also the size of business is very small. So it's more like a bartender is the menu by talking to customers. So so how you doing? What do you feel like? And based on the answer that the bartenders hear from the customers, they're going to take it from there.
Oh, wow. Right. Like each person get customized cocktail.
Right. So, but we cannot do stuff like that. I mean, we have something, we have 120 people. So, yeah. So, then, yes. There also the creativity, yes. They use creativity to sort of kind of stay in the box, while we use creativity to go outside of the box.
Okay.
So this box is, so in Japan, they think so much, experiment so much to perfect margarita, or sidecar, or daiquiri. While we use creativity to go outside the box by creating, let's say, sriracha margarita. Or I just made up right now, but
right. I'm sure it's going to be popular.
Yes. So those are the difference. Yes.
Right. Yeah. That the in the box creativity that reminds me of the term called hot shake was developed by the legendary bartender Kazuo Ueda, who is the owner of the bar Tender in Ginza, Tokyo. That's like regarded as one of the best bars in Japan. And so maybe you can just talk about the hot shake, because it's the ultimate, you know, pursuit of technique and standard cocktail.
Right. Okay. First, just allow me to remind everybody that my bartending career started after I came to New York. So I'm not exactly the best one to talk about this. But however, one thing I know about a person and hard shake is something that they spend so much time figuring out how to do their best job at their own bar by using the ice that they select and bar tools that they select. Mm. So that's their version of perfect shake.
Right.
And that works very well when you are there, but that's not something that I can easily copy at Pegu Club. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, hot shake just basically means you drive the ice inside around the shaker instead of simply back and forth, and that reduces the collision between the ice and the walls of the shaker, so the ice does not break into overly small pieces, so the cocktail doesn't get diluted too quickly. That kind of technical.
Right, yeah.
Right. And, but I happened to sit just in front of Mr. Ueda when I went to Japan, and I just really intended to sit before him, and I asked him, how do you make ice? And it was, I was, you know, one of those 8 customers, and he carefully told me how he makes by hand, and it takes forever. So there's a bat, and then he just makes sure just all the airs are not going into...
Yeah.
You know, so I really found it is something almost like a craftsman.
Absolutely, yes.
Right. Okay, and all right. So I think, before the show started, we talked about, you know, in making a martini in Japan, they prepare ice, like very complicated way of doing.
Yes, I try to go to all famous Japanese bars when I go back to Tokyo. Once a year, one thing that I opened my eyes was, so you are escorted to the bar and you sit, you order a martini, and they have these 3 steps. So they're gonna just chip out ice to make your martini, and when you chip it, freshly chip it, you see tiny, tiny bits of ice sitting on a chunk of ice.
Mm.
So they throw that chunk of ice in a mixing glass and slowly pour water and starts stirring lightly. And later I realized that they were doing 3 things at one moment, one movement.
Mm.
One is getting rid of that ice chips, and also keeping cold in a mixing glass.
Mm.
Then I'm also making my water chaser at the chilled level.
Mm-hmm.
So we just use water pitcher here.
So right.
But some attention to details very. Like something that, like, really wow,
right.
Wow moment. Yes.
Yeah, people may think it's meticulous, but I think it's really well calculated.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I prefer Japanese style.
Yes.
Oh, they're nice. Right. And but I think other than the technical aspects, I think there's more in the difference between the Japanese and American cocktails, right? So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, once again, some techniques that you see in Japan are great, and but there's always a reason why they do it, But things that we tend to forget is that's the way that works perfectly at mm-hmm. their establishment. That doesn't mean that we can just copy and do exactly the same thing. But then, so technique is technique, and we should have something that works perfectly for us, and that's something that we should just work on. But main difference, or like what makes not only bartending, just hospitality service in Japan very unique and shining is, I guess we Japanese say like omotenashi. Like anticipating customers' needs, and you just meet the expectation or like meet the needs.
Like reading a customer's mind.
Right, yeah.
Even personal relationship, we use the word omotenashi
yes.
to make other people happy.
So I guess that's the base of Japanese hospitality. And unlike restaurant, bar is more like face-to-face customer's business. So like, I guess omotenashi is something a little more visual.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, you are here in the U.S. as a bartender, but do you practice omotenashi? Like, for instance, did you at the Pegu or now?
I would like to say so, but it's something very deep, so... But yes, I mean...
Like, for instance, do you have any...
Like, let's say, even like when you serve a glass of water with the menu, like by looking at customers, maybe these customers don't need ice cubes in the water. Well, that's because outside is already cold enough.
Right.
Or if it's super humid, hot day, it might be a bit of nice touch to throw a slice of cucumber in iced water. And that's because it's so humid, and you don't want to just give them a room temperature water. If it's your regular customers, most likely you will know the birthday. Then you could just prepare. It doesn't have to be expensive, but just you can just prepare some little gift for them, you know.
I remember, you know, when I went to Pegu Club, usually I make new friends because you introduce someone in industry and you should know each other. It's kind of, you know, you didn't expect, but at the end of the day, wow, that was a good time. Rather than just a drinking cocktail, I got something else. Right. So that I thought that was omotenashi.
Good, yes.
Right. Okay. So now let's take a short break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about Kenta's new cocktail bar. So please stay with us.
If I had a magic wand, tomorrow everyone in the world would have enough food to eat that was culturally appropriate and delicious. The planet would be thriving because all the food would have been grown and produced in a way that sustains us, both our bodies and our world. But man, I do not have a magic wand. What I do have is you and this radio station, the Heritage Radio Network. That's what we're here to do. We're here to help lead the way to a future that's more delicious, that's more fun, where we're healthier, where the planet's healthier, and we want you to be a part of that. We can't do it without you. As a nonprofit radio station, we depend on the support of our listeners. So take a minute out of your day, visit the website, and click the big beating donate tab. Throw us a few bucks. Every bit helps. We're counting on you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Kenta Koto, the former head bartender at the award-winning cocktail bar Pegu Club in Soho, and the owner of the new cocktail bar, Bar Koto. So you just opened your own bar in Lower East Side in July, and it's small and
it is,
cozy,
yes, yeah.
But it's beautiful with dark wood bar, and on the wall you find a subtle Japanese expression, which is a framed piece of your grandmother's kimono.
Yes,
right?
Correct, yes. So. It's about like 100 years old, beautiful fabric, and it was passed on to my mother, then and she gave it to me because she knew that I was opening a bar. Then again, I mean, I already knew that it's not going to look good on me, even if I try. So maybe I should just keep it on the frame.
Then,
yeah,
exactly. So what is the concept of bagoto? The menu shows a lot of Japanese influence, way more than the typical.
Yes. The concept is good cocktails and comfort Japanese bar food. And I guess my bar is not exactly like authentic cocktail bars that you see in Ginza, Tokyo. More like, I'd call it actually just like a nice New York bar with Japanese flair to it. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to ask you about the food too.
Sure.
But what kind of cocktails do you serve, and what's your inspiration in each cocktail?
Yes. Right now, well, at least my opening menu, all cocktails are some sort of Japanese influence in it. What I did is, the base is all classic American cocktails, but I added sort of Japanese flair to it. So like, for example, so I have a martini, and the garnish, I mean, olive garnish is pretty common, but the why you want olive is it's because it's, you want the saltiness in it. But I replace olive with the salted cherry blossom.
Right, that's a very classic, traditional, beautiful garnish in Japan.
Right, so it makes sense. I mean, I hope I'm right, but it makes sense. You want salt. All right, so but instead of olives, you can utilize the cherry blossom that's preserved in salt. Then once flowers open, it looks really beautiful too.
Right. And it opens when, you know, the liquid is poured, it opens and you see it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's a national flower of Japan too, so it makes sense basically, yes.
Right. And what about Far East Side?
Yes, Far East Side is actually one drink that I kept from Pegu. I first created that drink about 5 years ago at this point. But many people still ask for it. And so I just decided to put it on my opening menu. Drink is it's a sake-based lower proof cocktail. Made with shiso, yuzu, and the Saint-Germain elderflower. These three ingredients, flavors, get together, and it creates a fourth new flavor.
Right.
And since sake is lower proof, I utilize just a tiny portion of tequila to give a backbone to the drink.
Right, so some more kind of structure in it. Right, and I found it very interesting. It's called Umami Mary.
Yes, that's one thing. That's one thing I'm very happy about. Final product. I spend a lot of time.
Okay.
Long story short, it's miso soup meets Bloody Mary.
Okay.
Yes, and why miso? That's because it's that's an Eastern Worcestershire sauce. I mean, not exactly sauce, but it's an Eastern umami. Western umami in Bloody Mary is a Worcestershire sauce.
Right. And you have a shiitake in it.
Yes.
So that's another umami, concentrated umami.
Yes.
Right.
Also, I like to use a potato vodka, not just barley. Grain vodka. So I guess potato kind of contributes some level of umami too in a drink.
Right. Yes. And also you have tomato too.
Yeah, tomato and clamato both. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So clamato is
clam. Yes, thank you.
Tomato. Yes, clamato. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So basically, it sounds challenging, adventurous, but it makes sense
right.
when you taste. It's a lot of umami,
yes.
like Bloody Mary. Okay. So, what cocktail is most popular?
The most popular one is the sakura. We call it sakura martini.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sake martini with cherry blossoming.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's good. And also, it looks good, too.
Mm.
And now everybody has smartphone. So people like take pictures. And the next thing, people seem to know that they what they want to try from the picture.
Right, Instagram.
Right.
Kind of.
So
right.
definitely sakura martini. And also I have this Tom Collins made with yuzu and calpico, like non-alcoholic, light yogurtish flavor.
Yeah, so Calpico is Calpis and Calpico. It's a very, you know, that private brand name, but
right.
everybody has a memory with it.
Exactly.
You,
if you're born, raised in Japan, you know it, yes.
Right, yeah. like, lactic and sweet,
exactly,
concentrate.
Yeah.
And you just dilute it.
So, yes. So, it's Tom Collins, but sort of kind of milky, citrusy, refreshing Tom Collins. And yeah, that seems to be very popular.
Mm.
And Far East Side is doing very well.
Right. So why do you think people like Japanese flavors in cocktails?
I guess more people are used to trying like Japanese food, not just only sushi. Ramen has become huge popular.
Right.
And I also noticed that this goes back to my Pegu time. My first year at Pegu, and you compare to my last year at Pegu, which was 2013, I could see that the more people have been to Japan. Yes. Some of them even live there, the business occasions, even like vacation. I think I don't know the exact number, but I'm sure that number has skyrocketed. Yes.
Right. Actually, I saw the statistics that by the Japanese government and
yes.
you know tourism organization, and the top reason that people go to Japan is food and beverage.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So, what kind of food do you serve at Bagoto?
Right. So the concept is, the base is bar food. So, although I kept my food menu small, but still you see chicken wings, French fries, celery sticks,
right. French, but that's gobo
yes.
fries, right?
Right?
So it's like a butter food.
So what I did with my friend, who's in this case is my consulting chef. His name is Kiyo Shinoki from Bohemian.
Mm-hmm. Right, the Bohemian is it's a kind of a secret restaurant, and you need to go in there by a friend's referral, right? You have to know
yes.
whoever been to.
Well, you can just call him, but that's...
Oh, yeah. directly, somehow.
Yes.
Right.
So basically I asked him, so here's my concept, bar food, but needs to be all painted over Japanese way.
Mm-hmm.
So, He got it. So back to the French fries. Instead of using potatoes, we decided to go with gobo, burdock roots.
Mm.
So it's more like a chunk of fibers, not chunk of starch. So that's actually a bit healthier too.
Right.
And
it's healthier and
yeah.
more flavors too. Right.
There are some chicken wings. I mean, that's like any birds have it. And usually chicken wings accompany with the celery sticks.
Mm.
But celery sticks almost like look down. They no one really do anything with it.
Right.
And so I just decided to maybe, why don't we just separate it? Why don't we just serve chicken wings only? And okay, let's do something about celery.
Mm.
And So we decided to just add old Japanese flavor to it by adding sesame oil and red shiso flakes, like Japanese mint flakes, and salted kelp, the seaweed. So it's veg. It's I mean it's celery, so it's vegetable, but at the same time, sort of kind of that's sort of like umami-ish and seafood-ish flavor to it.
So, so those appetizers sounds like almost the same kind of reconstructed way of classic American
that's
cocktails and food. But I think you know. The main big part of the menu is okonomiyaki.
Yes.
Right?
And, yeah, so, that's what my mother was doing in her restaurant back in Japan. So I always wanted to do okonomiyaki. Just didn't know how until I opened my bar. So we offer five different toppings. One is...
By the way, the okonomiyaki, it's a... pancake, Japanese side pancake.
Yes, when you Google it, like, they usually say like savory cabbage pancake or some Japanese pizza. But I guess in New York, what I notice is it's kind of cross between of a quiche, tacos, pizza, like lasagna, or like frittata, kind of everything all together. So I guess people, I mean, you don't have to. Born and raised in Japan to enjoy okonomiyaki.
It's an ultimate comfort food.
Exactly. So, so yeah, probably that's the reason that many people come to my place and enjoy okonomiyaki. Yes.
So, what is the classic okonomiyaki?
Yes, the one that we call classic has a little bit everything: meat, cheese, seafood, veggie, all together. And the other four. It's pretty much one direction. One is meat-oriented. The other one is all about cheese, all about seafood, all about veggies.
Right. I see the grilled cheeses, cheddar, parmigiano, gruyere, beach mushroom, sun-dried tomato. So, you know, okonomiyaki doesn't sound like real Japanese, but it's actually, it has a history in Japan since the beginning of the late 19th century when the Japanese... people decided to open the country after 200 years of isolation.
I see.
Sakoku, right? So, yeah, but you kind of expanded that variation in a more American style at Bagoto. It's great. In other words, it's kind of a izakaya, if you see Bagoto as a fine cocktail izakaya.
Exactly. So, I'm get to the point. It's I guess it's a kind of cocktail izakaya. That's what my place is.
Right. Yeah. But it's very sophisticated ambience, I have to say.
So, yeah. First, I was kind of hesitant to say my place is izakaya because it's really not authentic, traditional izakaya. I only have 10 items on the food menu, while authentic izakaya has like close to 100.
Right.
So, so I just don't want to like disappoint anyone who kind of.
You created probably the new category.
Right.
Right. Okay. And by the way, in Japan, cocktail bars are a lot more formal than here in the U.S.
Yes.
So, how do you describe and what's a tip? What are tips to enjoy?
Yes. Their venue is, let's say, average of 20 customers capacity, while they have at least two or three staff. They are ready to take care of you from 1 to 10, from the moment, even right before the moment you step into the establishment to even after you pay, you walk out of the establishment, and they... are ready to even find a cab for you. So so it's all, it's kind of like almost like 11 Madison Park hospitality. I'm sure they study that kind of stuff too. But, so they are professional when it comes to hospitality and service. So you should let them. And at the same time, it's a very special place. This is something I want to advise to my fellow bartenders in New York. You guys need to dress up when you go to a cocktail bar in Japan.
Mm.
You just cannot go there with a jeans and a hoodie.
Right, because bartenders wear tuxedos sometimes, right? And bow ties and...
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, and then they're not usually a part of a restaurant. Almost nothing like
exactly,
that exists.
Yeah.
They go for the sake of going to a cocktail bar.
Right. So, It's a very special experience.
Mm.
So,
like
you'd dress up when you go to 11 Madison Park.
Mm.
You might want to just dress up and just enjoy that special moment.
Right. Okay. So I have endless questions, but I think we started to wrap up. So what's your plan next?
Hopefully... Well, I don't know yet, but I just want to make sure that my first one is going to run smoothly. Then, eventually, I'm going to open a second one, maybe somewhere in Brooklyn.
Mm.
Yes.
Right. Or maybe eventually in Tokyo, maybe?
If any opportunities, yes. Kyoto would be nice. Yeah.
Right. Well, keep me posted.
Absolutely.
Keep us posted.
Yes.
Come back. All right. So thank you for joining us today, Kenta.
Thanks so much.
And I'll see you at the Bagoto soon.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So listeners, if you'd like to know more about the Kenta's Bar, please go visit bargoto.com. That is bargoto.com. And if you have any questions or comments, please contact us at heritageradionetwork.org. And by the way, we just launched a beautiful new website, so please visit our page, Japan Eats. And Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org. And today's engineer is always devoted, Liz Smith. So I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.